Lisa Davis, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Does your child struggle in school, resist reading or writing, have test anxiety, have difficulty with or avoid sports, seem smart in everything but school and lacks confidence? Quote, children may have 20/20 eyesight but still suffer from vision problems, unquote, says today's guest, Dr. Lynn F. Hellerstein, optometrist and author of See It, Say It, Do It. They can read an eye chart just fine, but they can't read a book. Millions of children needlessly struggle in school because of undetected vision problems. 1 in 4 school-aged children have vision difficulties, according to Prevent Blindness America. Most children are born with healthy eyes, but they have to learn how to use their eyes and coordinate them with their brain and body. Many children need vision therapy to learn how to integrate their vision skills. During her 30 years of clinical practice, Dr. Hellerstein found that visualization strategies can help children build confidence and develop a love for learning. She details them in the groundbreaking book, See It, Say It, Do It. Dr. Hellerstein, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Good morning, and thank you.
Yes, good morning. Now, in your fabulous book, See It, Say It, Do It, you begin the book with a lovely letter to parents and teachers where you write about how you were personally transformed by the See It, Say It, Do It model. Can you share your experience with us?
Surely. In 2002, I was hit with some major medical problems, which turned my life upside down. And, you know, they were digestive issues and colon surgery, but what ended happening, it totally affected my thinking. I couldn't think clearly, and I kept asking my surgeon, gee, when you took out a piece of my colon, did you take out a piece of my brain? And she would laugh at me, but I just couldn't think clearly. And it was during that time that I see now that I think I really got a gift from the universe, although you would have never been able to convince me that of that at that time. But what it made me do is really sit back and stop my busyness, stop my workaholic tendencies, and really start looking at who am I and what is my real purpose here. And what I realized was the work that I had been doing in vision therapy for over 30 years, especially in the visualization practice, had a much bigger calling for me. And it was taking what I do with vision, teaching people how to track and focus and use their eyes together, but also now taking that vision inside. It's like integrating both your external and internal vision. And so it was really from that medical crisis that I created, ended up creating the book to try to get this message of the importance of vision in all our lives as kids as well as adults.
Yeah, and the book is fabulous. And, you know, in the introduction I mentioned that children with 20/20 vision who they can't read, you know, they're having trouble reading. And in the introduction to See It, Say It, and Do It, you write about children who love to be read to and struggle with the reading. And that's my daughter exactly. Now, what's at play for these children?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, all 20/20 means is that your child can see a letter that's about a half-inch size at 20 feet. It doesn't tell you anything more than that. That's why it's not considered perfect vision. There's over 15 skills that you still need for vision skills that relate to learning, like your tracking and focusing, and especially visualization. I mean, you could have double vision and pass the 20/20 eye chart.
Wow.
And what happens with young kids is, if you read to them, and they love to be read to, which most kids do, they're hearing the story, they're creating movies and pictures in their mind. They love reading that way. But somehow, there's a breakdown when they try to get the written word off the page themselves. Maybe they don't know the words, maybe they can't understand the words, track, focus. There's a number of things that would break that down. But the bottom line is, good readers will talk about making a movie or pictures in their head when they read. And poor readers, when you say, what happens when you're reading? And they say, oh, I hate it. The print blurs, or I just notice the words. I mean, print and words are boring.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get that translation into the pictures and visualization, they hate to read themselves. Yet they love the process of being read, too.
I see. Now, for people who aren't familiar, what is visualization?
Visualization is defined in a lot of different ways, but basically it's creating mental image in your, like, third eye in your mind. But it goes beyond that. It's very multi-sensory. It's not just picturing. It's feelings, it's senses, it's touch, it's smells. So if I took you on a little trip to Hawaii here for just a moment, and close your eyes and feel the warm breeze and hear those ocean waves crashing and smell the beautiful flowers. And we could go on and on and on. And that's creating a whole imagery using all our senses. And that's, so visualization's not just about picturing. And some people really see clear, vivid pictures when they visualize. And other people really just have senses or knowings or feelings or more auditory senses. So there's all different kinds of imagery, but the total package, the aha, I see it, I know it, I get it, that's what I'm calling visualization.
You know, I've always had trouble with that, and I think maybe that's where my daughter gets it from. Because, like, if when I was doing that, and I actually lived in Hawaii, so it's even more ironic that I'm having trouble. But, like, I can kind of see it, but it's almost like it's not totally clear. It's more like you said, like, I can kind of sense it with my other senses. It's really interesting. And, you know, I'm wondering for children who have sensory and motor issues. I mean, you write about that in the book. I have a lot of listeners who have children with special needs, whether they're special needs and gifted or just special needs and some other issues or on the autism spectrum. If you can touch on that a little bit and some of the challenges for them.
Certainly. I look at vision as a whole developmental process. Mm-hmm. And it starts really prenatally, but especially at birth, if you watch your babies, when they first start moving and then they start touching things and they put everything in their mouth, and that drives parents crazy. But it's part of the whole developmental process of learning how eyes lead the body. And if the process goes normally, eventually you can look at that beautiful blanket, let's say, and know what it would look and feel like. But if you haven't really developed a higher level of visual processing skills, you always still have to touch it. So you see a lot of these kids with sensory processing problems touching everything. It's like they see with their hands.
Yeah, my daughter smells everything.
Yes.
Everything. She has like a bionic nose.
Yeah. And again, really the goal with all people is integration of all senses.
Mm-hmm.
And many kids and adults have better ability to process some senses than others. Some get very overstimulated. So
yes.
Some kids, if it is just too bright or too many things on the shelf, won't even go into the store. And that actually happens to adults.
Mm-hmm. My mother was like that, very sensory defensive.
Yes, and
yes.
It could be auditorily. Again, they'll cover their ears if there's too mm-hmm. much sound, or they hate to be touched. And so vision is our dominant learning sense, but it's really one of all of our senses that integrates together. So we work very closely with occupational therapists and physical and speech and other therapists because it's, you know, you have one brain, you have one person, one body, and there's all these systems that have to be integrated together. And my main role is the visual processing piece. But again, we're looking at the whole vision input,
yes.
processing in the brain, and output, motor response.
So it sounds like that if you do have a child with sensory issues and they smell everything or they touch everything, that if they can do the visual therapy and get stronger in that area, it's going to make things easier for them and it's going to integrate their senses more. Is that?
Well, for many kids, it's a huge missing link and missing piece.
Yes.
It's very important. For some kids, it's just part of an entire process of needing other therapies as well. But again, remember, vision being dominant, it's often the one sense that's left out. You know, a lot of these kids get a lot of this other movement and sensory processing treatment, but they're often told at their doctors, oh, you see 20/20, there's no vision problem. And that's a real misnomer. That's just one of 15 skills that need to really be evaluated to really see how your child is processing visual information.
Now, why aren't ophthalmologists or optometrists more familiar with this, I'm wondering? You know, when they see a child and tell them they have 20/20, okay, see you later. I mean, what's happening there?
Well, you know, that's the number one question I get when patients come in. How come somebody hasn't picked this up
mm-hmm.
sooner? And my basic rule is if you don't look for it, you don't find it, number one.
Okay.
And it's true whether it's in education or medicine. I mean, look at general health with the number of people that are obese. And I've seen some of your programs on eating and nutrition.
Yes.
You know, why do you go to the doctor and he just give you a pill and not really spend a lot of time talking to you about nutrition and health and diet and exercise? And some of it is mindset, and some of it is time. You know, in medicine, the way that our medical system is, doctors don't have all the time in the world like they used to really sit down and talk to people. And so education is the key, and that's really one of the purposes of my book, is to give parents the kinds of questions to ask their doctors so they can really make sure they're seeing somebody who's going to evaluate their child appropriately for for these types of problems.
Yeah, and one of those, what was it, ask them about a near point test? Is that what you're supposed to ask?
Yes, there's two questions you could ask your eye doctor. And most of the doctors doing this type of work we're talking about are called either developmental or behavioral optometrists.
Okay.
And you can ask your eye doctor two main questions. Do you do near point testing? In other words, not just do you see 20/20 and then dilate your eyes, but you really do a lot of testing at near, within arm's length. That's where your child reads and focuses and writes. So there's a whole battery of tests that need to be done before dilation of your eyes, before your drops are put in. So that's number one question. And number two question is, do you provide vision therapy or refer to a doctor who does so? And if you really just can't find a doctor in your area, there's a great international nonprofit organization called COVD, College of Optometrists in Vision Development, COVD.org. And they have a find a doctor list. So you can go on that free of charge, put in your zip code or city or state, and they'll list the doctors. And this is our international certifying body of vision therapy and development. So these are the doctors that are very interested and do a lot more studying and have been certified in vision therapy to provide vision therapy. So it's a good starting point to help you find a doctor to provide this kind of treatment.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, getting back to see it, say it, do it, we've been talking about see it, and now we're going to get into saying it. And I love the say it. I love the declarations and the affirmations, and I think they're going to help grown-ups as well. If you can tell us a little bit about the say it part of the see it, do it.
Surely. Say it is a huge component, especially for me personally. It's making a declaration. In other words, stating what is true about you as if it's already happened. So an example, I'm a great reader. Well, how often have you heard your kids say, I hate reading, I'm stupid, I can't do it? Those are declarations. And the more you say it, the stronger and more believable they become. Now, if you want to, you know, if you watch the Olympics, you could see Sean Miller and many of the other winners stand up there ready to perform, and they talk about the visualizing. And you can bet that they were not standing there going, I'm going to fall. I don't think I can do it. They were totally seeing what was happening and confirming what they were going to do. And so one of the real important parts of all of our treatment is, you know, getting the kids to understand their own visualization and imagery, and then giving them the power to create a powerful declaration instead of a negative. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned it for adults. What I've done is I've taken a lot of personal growth kinds of courses, and that's what these courses are always about, is how to visualize and create a big business, and state Jack Canfield talks about these things and many others. What I've done is taken that kind of information and tried to digest it down and then present it so kids at their young age can already start declaring themselves as winners. I can do this. I can write. It's huge in sports. So we use that all the time in therapy, and it's not just a, you know, making up a lie. The kid's got to, at some level, really believe there is that potential that he can be a reader. And when he commits to it, things in his life really change.
Oh, that's terrific. And then, you know, moving on to do it, of the see it, say it, and do it. And you talk about Nike, the just do it, and you talk about organizational charts and how important those are. And if you can talk about that a little bit.
Surely. Many of us are dreamers. I wish I went to college. I should have, could have, would have, you know, didn't. And you have these dreams. And if you just dream about it and never declare or create an action plan, an action plan is what big businesses use to run their companies. It starts with a declaration, a vision, then a declaration, and then the step-by-step method to go to your dream. And what we've done is created, we call them organizational charts for kids, a series of organizational charts to help them get their homework done, do chores. But it's really different than a to-do list. A lot of parents will say, oh, yeah, I've had a to-do chart. That never works. The difference is the child has to help create this organization chart by decorating it, coming up with the tasks. So, for example, mom and the kid will sit down. All right, what do we have to do before you go to school? Well, brush your teeth, comb my hair. And they have to agree on three or four things. They agree, so there's already buy-in from the child. And then it's the child's responsibility to pat himself on the back when he's done it through stickers or marks or whatever it is, and really own the chart. And that difference, the ownership, is the real difference in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've used these charts even with, you know, from gifted kids to kids with significant developmental delays where organization is terrible. But they, you know, there's a picture in the book about Grace where she created her own chart and she started putting
pictures
on it.
Yeah, it's really nice.
You know, and then she puts good job, spelled J-O-O-D, back in and that's the beauty of it. It's her chart, no criticism, and she
that's
was
right.
proud of it. And her mom, you know, was thrilled because she was now at least getting ready for school and doing her chores and homework with much less fighting and screaming. And that, you know, so many parents have that. How long does it take you to do homework? Well, it's 10 minutes of homework that takes you 2 hours sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I had a friend who went through that with her son, and it was. She's like, this is in kindergarten, first grade or something. She's like, this is ridiculous, you know.
Right.
It's really tough, so I'm going to definitely recommend your book. I recommend it to everyone. It's a fabulous book, See It, Say It, Do It, The Parents and Teachers Action Guide to Creating Successful Students and Confident Kids. Dr. Lynn F. Hellerstein, you are wonderful, and how can people learn more about you and your terrific work?
Oh, thank you. You can check out my website at www.seeitsayitdoit.com. And in the upper right corner, there's a little button to click on if you want a free download of a checklist, a vision checklist. You're welcome
to
sign up for that. And also, that puts you on my email list. Once a month, I send out email newsletters that have activities in it. And we just had activities from Do It just went out yesterday, and all of the newsletters are archived, so you can always go back and get them. But again, it's seeitsayitdoit.com.
Oh, terrific. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a terrific day. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.